Hey there, podcast listener. We've got a new episode coming up for you today. But before we get started, I want to talk to you about supporting our show and your local public radio station. So we know that you listen to Latino USA because you value what we do. But I know you listen to Latino USA not just because of value, but because you love what we do, because you trust what we do, because you love the stories that we tell and how we tell them. In fact, Latino USA and your local public radio station are your reliable, credible sources of information. In 2018, NPR has been there to bring you the bigger picture, helping lots of audiences to understand what's happening here in the U.S. and how it impacts other places in the world. And our network brings all of this right home to you. So public radio is possible, but it's not possible without you. You, the listener, are the person who makes it possible. You, in fact, are essential. You're the core of everything that we do, why we produce the stories that we produce, the stories that we tell. It's actually all for you. And we rely on you for your feedback, your support, and your donations. By making an end-of-the-year gift to your NPR station, you'll be supporting the stories that matter to you. So support Latino USA and your local public radio station by donating today. Visit donate.npr.org/Latino USA. And thank you. Muchas gracias.
Well, used to have Odorama, right, at some point in his story. It would have been so cool to do Odorama with Odorama.
Ooh, it would have been so, oh my God, all of that cooking. Oh, all of the smells would have been amazing. From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, a portrait of Academy Award-winning director Alfonso Cuarón. When reading through a list of all the films Alfonso Cuarón has directed, it can be hard to believe the same person was behind all of them. His first feature to earn international recognition was Y tu mamá también, which is an intimate coming-of-age film about two young men who go on an unexpected road trip. His next film was Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, which is, of course, a very different kind of movie.
There's something moving out there.
It was a Dementor.
Cuarón's following film, Children of Men, is a critically acclaimed dystopian thriller.
What's left to hope for?
And then he made Gravity, a movie about astronauts for which he won an Oscar for Best Director. So considering this trajectory, you might think that Cuarón's next film might be about a parallel universe or what it's like to live in the afterlife. Instead, Cuarón went in a completely different direction, telling his most intimate story to date.
Buenas noches, Claire.
Buenas noches, sir.
The film is called Roma, and it's based on Cuarón's childhood, growing up in the early 1970s in the Mexico City Colonia, or neighborhood, of Roma. And even though the film is based on his childhood, the central characters in the film are two women, Cleo and Margarita. Cleo is an indigenous woman who's a domestic worker, and her character is based on Cuarón's live-in childhood nanny named Libu Rodriguez. And Margarita is a single mother of four. She's based on Cuarón's actual mother, whose name is Cristina Orozco. The film has garnered attention for many reasons, including its centering of an indigenous woman, a rarity in films produced anywhere, including Mexico. Cleo is played by Yalitza Aparicio, who had just finished her training to be a preschool teacher in Oaxaca and had never acted, and she didn't even know who Alfonso Cuarón was when she got cast for the role. Roma is shot in black and white, which feels like a departure from the images that we typically see of Mexico City, filled with pastel-colored houses. There is no score for the film. All of the sounds and music that are heard come from within the scene that was being shot.
Sophie!
The result is a film so immersive, you feel that you're plopped into 1970s Mexico City. And I would know because I was born in a neighboring colonia named Narvarte, and that's where I would spend every summer for many, many years. So, today we bring you a portrait of Alfonso Cuarón. So, thank you for making Roma.
Wow. Well, thank you. Thank you for liking it.
You know, what you did was that you transported me back to 1971 in Mexico City when it was El DF. And the first way that you did that was actually with sound. I was listening to the sounds and I was like, is that really what I think it is? Which is in these colonias like Roma or Narvarte, there was always the sweeping of the interior patio. It was like the first thing you heard was the swish of water and cleaning of sidewalks and patios. Why did you decide to open with that?
Well, the film is taking out of memory. And memory is very sensorial. There's a certain aspect of memory that is visual. But probably sounds and smell are the senses that trigger memory the most. Those sounds are the sounds that fill this specific space that is Mexico City. So we decided to create a sound that is as if you're standing pretty much where the camera is looking at, but wrapped with the sounds all around you. Not only the sounds of the stuff that you're looking right in front of you, what is on the screen, but is what's surrounding you. With the sounds that are behind you, the sounds that are on your right and on your left, just like your everyday experience.
The thing is that in Mexico City, in a colonia like Roma, you can never actually, unless it's maybe 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, you're actually not getting quiet because there's always the dogs. There's always the streets.
Even at 3 o'clock in the morning, there's going to be a dog. And now that you're, oh my God, I realize one sound that I missed. Oh,
what?
I feel so stupid.
No.
You say 3 o'clock in the morning, el velador, the night watch.
El velador, of course, the night watch.
Oh, and I missed that one. There's a whistle that you hear, particularly in the distance, that is very melancholic. In the quietness of the city, it feels very sad.
So I was taking notes as I was watching your film Roma, and I wrote down how in the United States we have this image of, you know, the suburbs with white picket fences and how everything is going to be perfect behind that white picket fence in a suburb. And in Mexico, if you will, like Colonia Roma is like our, you know, the Mexican version of the white picket fence. It's beautiful homes, you know, middle class, but where everything is just right. But actually, it's a falsehood. The picket fence and the Colonia Roma with the beautiful home, there's something about the relationship between men and women that is kind of ripping that image to the core. And the story is that the men are like serious jerks. I mean, they are jerks, whether they're the father of four that's, you know, a medical doctor, you know, a white Mexican raising his family, or if he's an indigenous guy who's dating Cleo. The men basically act like jerks in your film.
Well, that was the case in my life. What can I tell you? Particularly in that period of my life of those specific characters. But yes, it's unquestionable that the role of men in not only in Mexican society, I have to say, is worldwide is less than generous.
It makes me really sad to hear you say that as a young man growing up in Mexico City in the 70s, that's what you remember, that, you know, and I think the film is somewhat autobiographical. So did your dad, I mean, let's see, we don't want to give it away, but essentially your dad kind of does a little disappearing act. Did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, maybe 80% of the scenes that you see in the film, maybe more than 80%, they come straight from my memory. And those were complemented with the memories of Libu. And a small percentage, then we just wrap it up in some fictional elements. But most of the scenes that you see, those were scenes as I remember them.
Wow. And I'm wondering, obviously, you're not a woman. Why focus on how women were seeing this moment in history?
Well, that was not a conscious decision in the standpoint of trying to do a film about gender. I was trying to do a film about a specific person. A specific person who raised me, and I owe so much. And her universe is a universe surrounded by women. Talking with Libo, who's the person upon whom the character of Cleo is based, you know, I was going through her routine and her life during that period, and there was all this part of her life that was very familiar to me, because there was a part that would flow in the inside the bubble of my own existence, meaning the house, my street, my neighborhood. But then there was another aspect of her that was very unknown, like her bedroom.
Mm.
For instance, the fact that she would do exercise at night, turning off the light because my grandmother would get upset that she would be wasting energy. Then when she started describing going out, her social life outside my home, you know, it forced me to recognize her as a woman. And this is something that is not specific of her. If you think about your parents, you don't think so much in terms of gender. You just think about these nurturing people. You know, you don't think of them as a man or a woman with desires and with a sexual life and so on. You use, you know, there are a lot of stuff that we don't think about with our dear ones, our loved ones. But also it forced me to deal with the fact of a woman who is like a mother, a second mother to me, that also is not only a woman, but also comes from a social class without any privilege. And on top of that, that is an indigenous woman. You know, so it's like a series of accumulation of facts that in societies like Mexico, and I dare to say societies all around the world, create conditions of disadvantage.
Coming up on Latino USA, our conversation with Alfonso Cuarón continues. Stay with us, no te vayas.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Vice News, launching a new podcast, Chapo, Kingpin on Trial, about drug kingpin Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, with versions in both English and Spanish. Over the course of 8 episodes, Vice News will journey across Mexico and the U.S. to meet people affected by El Chapo and the drug war. Listen to Chapo, Kingpin on Trial, for free, exclusively on Spotify, in both English and Spanish. Support also comes from BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who specialize in issues such as depression, stress, anxiety, and more. Connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment at your convenience. Get help at your own time and your own pace. Schedule secure video or phone sessions. Plus, chat and text with your therapist. Visit BetterHelp.com/NPR to learn more and get 10% off your first month.
Cube-shaped wombat poop, an elevator to space, and a karate kickin' cockroach. I'm Mindy Thomas of NPR's Wow in the World podcast. And every Monday this December, we bring you all new scientific wows to share with the curious kids in your life. Find Wow in the World on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, we're back, and we're speaking with Academy Award-winning director Alfonso Cuarón about his latest movie, Roma. You know, the family that's being portrayed, your family, is white Mexican. Cleo is indigenous, speaks Mixteco, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
And yet Cleo adores the children that she's raising, the white Mexican children that she's raising. the way she speaks to them, there's that moment in the film when she's going around to each room to wake them up. And she's waking up the kids with such love. And then there's the scene with, I guess, the older boy where he's asleep and she's dressing him, taking off his T-shirt, putting on a new T-shirt. The most intimate ways in which an indigenous woman is literally up against the body of white Mexicans.
Yeah, no, the film is as much as you say, women, but also about social class and race and that perverse relationship that exists in between social class and race.
And you talk about perverse, actually, because the next thing I was going to do was bring up that moment when the mother of the family rips into Cleo because she hadn't cleaned up some dog poop. And suddenly, like, this person who you think is one of the family and loved and adored and, you know, kisses is, like, talked down to, like she is less than human.
Yeah, the word is perverse because there's a really perverse relationship of convenience from the bourgeois class towards the domestic workers, in which not only they do the roles that are supposed to do in terms of the cleaning and cooking and doing errands, but they take over roles that usually are the roles of the parents. And they do that, as you said, with a lot of love and care. And in some families, like in the family that we're portraying in the film, and I dare to say that that's a happy example of this situation, you know, she's in many ways considered with care, but when everything goes wrong, she's the first one to be blamed, you know?
Kicked to the curb, like no vales nada, you're like nothing, you're like an animal in our house, even though she's the most loving person in that house.
Oh, yes. And from one second, it can go from this position of, oh, how much I love you, to her condition of being invisible. And when the same breath is saying, oh, I love you so much, I want to go and visit your town and bring me a smoothie and go and wash the clothes. You know, it's...
exactly.
And that's, unfortunately, it's a reality that we're showing a film that takes place in the 70s. And nothing has changed. If anything, that reality has become more acute.
Mm. Can you tell me a little bit about Yalitza Aparicio, who plays Cleo?
Mm.
I'm fascinated just because I'm not in the Mexico film world. The possibilities for actors now in Mexico. She's an indigenous woman. She's starring in a film that's being shown around the world in Cannes. You know, probably, you know, will be at the Oscar Awards. Tell me about finding Yalitza and who she is as an actress and as an artist.
Well, first of all, I never found her because she was never lost. You know?
true.
No, it's just because I'm amazed. It's when in this whole thing about in films, they always use the expression finding, you know, as if they needed to be found. Yalitza is such an extraordinary person. I was very lucky that we met after armies of casting crews were cruising through the mountains of Oaxaca, La Sierra de Oaxaca, going from little village to little village. And there we met with Yalitza. Yalitza had just finished studying to be an educator. That's something that she still wants to pursue, even though now also she got the bug of acting because she realized how amazing she is at acting. She had never acted
she's
before.
She's pretty amazing.
Oh, she's amazing. But that she proved that from the first day. And more important, she's so amazingly intelligent. Let me just put it this way. A good percentage of her dialogue is in Mixteco. And she doesn't speak Mixteco. Or she didn't speak Mixteco when I met her.
Whoa.
So she had to learn it from her best friend, Nancy, who plays Adela, her co-worker.
Wow.
Who speaks fluent Mixteco. And she learned everything, you know, practicing with Nancy.
On the one hand, you are capturing this kind of amazing sense of humanity that we know exists in Mexico, in our country. And at the same time, in 1971, Mexico was a brutally repressive state. And this existed parallel to the beauty and the street vendors and family events and vacations. There was also a murderous quality of what was going on. And you capture that in this one scene, of course. when people, you know, the family goes to buy a cradle, and outside, there's literally a massacre of students that's going on. So you remember this?
I remember going through the photographs in the newspaper. And it was very impactful because I had kind of a recollection and a memory at that time of the massacre that happened in October the 2nd in 68. But it was, in the mind of a child, it was lost kind of in mythology and fantasy. But when I was confronted with those photographs and realizing that the victims were students, and that I was a student, even if I way younger student, it kind of was my the first moment in which it gave me an awareness that there was a greater complexity outside the bubble of my middle class home. And yeah, that was a moment that was of a social awareness awakening. Now, we're talking about that as a massacre that happened in Mexico in a specific date.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's probably in developed countries, you see less of this political violence. But isn't it because these developed countries outsource that violence to other countries?
And, you know, it's a particularly difficult time to be living in the United States when you're Mexican, because the way that Mexico and Mexicans specifically have been talked about in the political arena has really been dehumanizing. So by simply making a film that portrays actual Mexicans, you know, not humanizing them because they're already human, but in fact, what you're doing is making a political film by telling this very personal story about Mexicans.
What an extraordinary idea, no, that Mexicans are humans. And nowadays, a whole ideological rhetoric of division and hate in which tries to just obscure the fact that, again, all the human experience is one and the same. Because what this ideological speech does is to take away empathy and compassion from the equation. And empathy and compassion are attributes that is what is worth to be a human. We have so many other bad behaviors, but our empathy and compassion can build amazing stuff. And also makes us forget that diversity, and this is in history, diversity has built better societies, better culture. Diversity have been the source of knowledge. That frankly, I don't know how many of those people are in power using that rhetoric really believing what they are saying. They're using that as a cheap device and as an easy device to hit into the lower emotions of the listener.
Alfonso Cuarón, thank you so much for your film, for all of your work. But for Roma in particular, thank you so much for making a film that really is so needed, so perfect for this moment, so simple and yet so complex. Muchísimas gracias. I'm just so thrilled to have had a chance to speak with you.
Muchísimas gracias a ti.
Roma is out in theaters and on Netflix on December 14th. This episode was produced by Antonia Cerejido and edited by Miguel Macias. The Latino USA team includes Sofia Paliza Ka, Maggie Freeling, Janice Yamoka, Sayer Quevedo, and Maya Cueva, with help from Fernanda Chavarri. Our senior editor is Marlon Bishop. Our engineer is Stephanie LeBeau. Additional engineering this week by Rebecca Weinman. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholz. Our fellow is Jesse Alejandro Cottrell. Our interns are Paula Mora and Comis Johnson. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, be sure to stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. And one more thing, podcast listener, if you go to Apple Podcasts and take a moment to rate and review Latino USA, this really helps new listeners to find us. Also, tell all your family and friends to listen. And we love reading all of your comments, so keep them coming. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next time. And in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. Hasta la próxima. Ciao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the Annie E. Casey Foundation creates a brighter future for the nation's children by strengthening families, building greater economic opportunity, and transforming communities. And the Marguerite Casey Foundation, change for families by families. And Heising Simons Foundation, unlocking knowledge, opportunity, and possibilities. More at hsfoundation.org.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, Javier Zamora was 9 years old when he left El Salvador. Now, 20 years later, he's being forced to return and to confront the family and country he left behind. The Return, next time on Latino USA. Hey, it's me again, and I hope you enjoyed the show today. I know I did. And this is just a reminder to please take just a little minute from your day to make this show possible by contributing. Support Latino USA and your local public radio station by donating today. Visit donate.npr.org/LatinoUSA. Gracias.